children who are willing to read the word of the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
And thank you, Rita, for the time you put into our children's ministry and preparing our young people for the work of the Lord. You know, we're here, and happy Valentine's Day to everybody, Valentine's Day weekend, so to speak. And we figured, well, since it's Valentine's Day, we talk about love, and I figured more specifically, since Valentine's Day is the holiday of romance, that amore, that beautiful, frolicking love where your heart skips a beat, and that person that you think of from the time you wake up in the morning till the time you go to bed is that person that that you're just adoring and caring about and letting them know how much you mean to them. Well, as Americans, we are in love with romance. If you look back to 1997, the movie Titanic, the romance between a beautiful, wealthy girl and a young pauper took the box office by storm, becoming the highest grossing movie of its time, making over $600 million. Just this last year, in 2013, if you look at the New York Times bestsellers for 2013, three of the five books that made it to the top of that list were romance novels. And it's easy to understand why people are drawn into romance. It's a beautiful idea, isn't it? To have somebody that you love so much and so passionately that you think about them all the time. They make you feel in ways that you just can't understand. You walk down the street and it feels like you're walking on clouds. It seems like such a beautiful and wonderful thing. But the reality is that romance, from a worldly perspective, is a dangerous thing. Because romance, from a worldly perspective, is all about me. It's all about what I get out of something, how that person makes me feel, how that person fulfills this need in my life. And so I get to a point where I start looking and thinking, that is more important than anything else. And it's become, in our society, an epidemic of people looking at this romance and thinking that it trumps everything. You've probably heard the story or seen it. Well, things aren't working out too well in the marriage, and we're fighting all the time, and just feel so uncomfortable. I just don't feel in love anymore. And well, this coworker, well, they smile when I talk, and they laugh at my jokes, and there's just this connection, and I couldn't control myself. I don't know what happened. We just fell in love. And our society looks at that and says, well, what could they do? They fell in love. Movies sell out with this premise of romance. Well, we look and we realize that that has nothing to do with God. Because as the children read to us, it's patient, it's kind. Love doesn't envy or seek its own. Love is something that puts others ahead of us, that says, you are more important than me. You're the one that matters. And so we see this confusion, and then we start to look at love and realize that love is about action. It's not about an ooey-gooey feeling. It's not about some special person in our lives. It's about setting ourselves aside for somebody else. So that throws us back to the question, well, is there room for romance in the life of a Christian? Is there room for those romantic feelings, that passion in our hearts? Well, if you've ever looked at the Song of Solomon, you realize right away that there's an entire book of romance in the Word of God. But just as a matter of time and convenience, I'm going to read to you a verse out of Hosea chapter 2. Hosea chapter 2, verses 14 and 15, if you want to look that up. But to give you some background, Hosea was a prophet who was commanded by God to marry a prostitute. Now, I know that sounds really, really weird, but that was God's plan for teaching the children of Israel. And he had a couple of children, and from my understanding of the scriptures, those children were illegitimate children. They were born out of prostitution. And this was God's way of showing the children of Israel, hey, you guys are prostituting yourselves to the other nations. You're relying on the other nations instead of me. You're trusting in their gods instead of trusting in me. And so the children of Israel had gotten off track. And Hosea, through his life, through the living embodiment of his marriage, was showing the children of Israel that they were doing wrong in the eyes of God. But God has something beautiful to say to his people. In Hosea chapter 2, verses 14 and 15, it says, "Therefore, behold, I will allure her. I will bring her into the wilderness, and I will speak comfort to her. I will give her vineyards from here and the valley of Achor as a door of hope. She shall sing there as in the days of her youth, as in the days when she came up from the land of Egypt." Do you hear the passion of God in this? He'll allure. Allure means to entice by charm or attraction. This is not simply nice, kind behaviors. This is God calling to his people, drawing his people out into a quiet place with him, into the wilderness, so that he can speak comfort and love. I just want you to picture in your mind being with God in the wilderness and him sitting there and telling you all of those sweet things that you want to hear. How much he loves you. How much he cares about you. How much you mean to him. You're his world. He thinks about you from the beginning of your days to the day that you leave this earth. He wants a relationship with you. He wants to draw you close. He can't think of anything but holding you. That is the love and the passion of your God. That is the love and passion of your Savior. He wants you to be close to him. This is not simply an act of kindness or being good. It is passion for his people. Well, when it comes to the idea of romance, we see that worldly romance and godly romance often end up in completely different places. Now, as I was thinking about romantic songs and stuff and kind of looking through them, one just stood out to me. It's one that's fairly new, and you guys have probably heard of the artist if you watch the Super Bowl. Most of us want to forget it. But Bruno Mars did the halftime show. And one of his songs, one of his popular songs, is a song called Grenade. And he says in that song, "I'd catch a grenade for you. Throw my hand on a blade for you. You know I'd do anything for you. I would go through all this pain, catch a bullet straight through the brain. I would die for you if you would do the same." And here we are with this young man. I don't know if he wrote the song, who wrote the song, but whoever wrote it, I'm sure was genuine and passionate about what they were writing. They really believed in a love for another person to think, I would be willing to die for that person. I would be willing to experience whatever it takes for that person. But you see, the problem with that worldly love is that feeling fades. As time goes on and all of a sudden you start to recognize that laugh isn't quite as funny as you thought it was when you first met that person. Those little quirks, those things that are just grating on you just a little bit, that you never noticed before because you were in love. With God, it's different. Because God didn't just say the words. God fulfilled the actions. In John chapter 15, verses 12 and 13, he says, "This command I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than to lay down his life for a friend." You see, God didn't stop at words. God didn't stop at talking about throwing himself on a grenade. God went to the cross. God didn't talk about throwing his hand on a blade. He took nails through his hands and his feet. He didn't talk about going through pain. He went through it. He suffered it. And you know what? He didn't ask us to do the same. He simply said, "I love you enough to do it," and hoped and trusted that we would love him enough to return those same feelings. See, passion romance is important in our Christian lives. It's important in our relationship with God that we love Him passionately. It's important in our marriages, just as Rex read earlier, right? Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. That was His plan and His purpose. You may not always feel romantic, but brothers and sisters, you have to love your spouse. You have to take the time to tell them that you love them, to do those extra little things, to let them know how much you care, to let them know that they're still the love of your life and that no matter how irritating those little quirks get, no matter how much in life happens, that you will always be there for them, that you will always love them, that you will always cherish them. Because brothers and sisters, if we can't do that here, we're never going to truly be able to understand what God has for us in eternity. So my prayer for you today is this, that God will bless you in your lives so that you have that passion for Him and so that you have that passion for your spouse, and that we never forget that the love of God is not selfish or self-absorbed, but that the love of God is something that gives to others.